Why would medical doctors set aside their comfortable practice, their air-conditioned offices, to go on such a grueling and primitive trip? They did so because they were servants, and they were serving just as our Lord Jesus Christ served us.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
If you take your Bibles, please, this evening and turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I hope that you also, as was sung a few moments ago, I hope that you are longing for heaven. I suppose that the older we all get and the more we see and understand what is happening with life all around us, we recognize that the Lord is at work. Many of our friends are going on to be with the Lord. Heaven gets sweeter all the time. And I know that many of you feel the very same way. I would appreciate it if you would pray for me. I have been really praying earnestly about some of the upcoming series, upcoming messages. And I've been contemplating very carefully to see what the Lord would have us do about a series, perhaps about our eternal destinies, about heaven. What will heaven be like? And also about the lake of fire. So I would appreciate your prayers very much about that as we try to biblically examine what the Bible says about these. And you pray, and as the Lord guides us, we'll press ahead that way. But as many of you know, with the passing of my very dear friend and a friend as close as a brother, I have a lot more curiosity about heaven than I think I've ever had before. What will it be like? And I hope, as was sung there a few moments ago, that you are carefully considering, we talked about this morning as well, your eternal destiny. I grieve when I think of the fact that there are those who will be outside the presence of God in an eternal fire forever. And dear friends, if we really believe that, then it is time to carry through on the message that we talked about this morning. You're turning to John chapter 13, and if you found your place there, and if you have your outline, let's read, shall we, briefly, verse 1 of John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, when he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Shall we pray together? To the end, Heavenly Father, we would also love others. As the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this wonderful, beautiful, and powerful model of love, I pray this evening that you would help us to employ such love in our daily living. Lord, teach us the freedom of what it means to follow you, the freedom to follow you with pure and full hearts, loving others and serving others. Grant that it may be so at the beginning of this new fall season of ministry, as many new ministries are getting into full force. Grant that it would be so, Heavenly Father, that we might serve you out of hearts of love as servant leaders. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday evening, as we gathered together, we heard wonderful testimonies, powerful testimonies of how the Lord had used many members of our congregation in fields as diverse as China and Nova Scotia, Canada. And on that occasion, as we celebrated together the Lord's Supper, I took you briefly to this passage and promised you that we would come back to it soon, and here we are this evening, looking at these principles of servant leadership that we see in the life of our precious Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the second person of the Godhead, astounds us when he serves us. We do not usually think of God in that manner. We do not think of the sovereign God of all, the almighty, the all-powerful God, as a God who serves. And when we do not think that way, then our thinking is out of sync with who God actually is and the revelation that we have of him. You see, dearly beloved, it is because the sovereign God is a servant. Because the sovereign God is the serving God, that is precisely why, if we are to follow him, we must also be servants of others. Setting aside our own rights, our own privileges, setting aside our own perks, our own pleasures, in order that we might more effectively, clearly, and transparently communicate who our God is. This is still very much in my thinking from when we had Reverend Jan Milton from Operation Renewed Hope. By the way, I talked to Tom Farrell, Evangelist Tom Farrell, two nights ago. They had a wonderful meeting in Mexico. Many of you were praying about that. They were able to do a medical clinic in a very rural, mountainous area, I believe, of Mexico. And they saw hundreds of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Basilio Alfaro is a wonderful speaker. He works with the organization that Dr. David Shumate works with down in Mexico. And they were able to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to many who had not heard, and also to help with many of the medical problems there in the area. Why would medical doctors set aside their comfortable practice, their air-conditioned offices, to go on such a grueling and primitive trip? They did so because they were servants, and they were serving just as our Lord Jesus Christ served us. So as we begin this evening, we have outlined 11 principles of servant leadership just from this passage, and I'd like for us all to ask the Lord tonight to give us light on how we can individually, practically apply what we are learning here this evening so that we might honor the Lord more. First and foremost is what we saw in the verse we just read a few moments ago, verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ loved them. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. On several occasions, I've given you the acrostic that we have used for love: living for others, victory in everything. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived for others' victory in eternity, an eternal love. He loved them, and in this case, he loved them all through his physical life. You know, dearly beloved, the Lord wants us to love others in exactly that way, even with our last dying breath. You and I might be tempted to think, well, there's been times when I have worked, I have served, but when I get to a certain age, then it's really not necessary for me to continue to do that. But that would be in sharp contrast to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved his own unto the end, and as we see in this passage, he served them unto the end. And so it's very clear if you're looking for his motive, his attitude, what was his approach to others, it was fueled by, we might say formulated by, this attitude of love. It's an act of the will, a choice to live for others' victory in every area. And even when he knew that his time was very, very short upon the earth. Look, if you will, at verse 2. And it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." We learn in other passages that the Lord Jesus knew full well that's exactly what was happening. He knew what was happening all around him. He knew that the devil was at work. He knew that Judas had now been infested with Satan himself. By the way, just a comment from this morning's message. I quoted to you from Matthew chapter 7, and I reminded you that the Lord Jesus Christ said, and he was telling us here about a future event in which he himself would be ruling at the great white throne judgment. And he said to those who would hear him, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name?" And one of the comments that's in Matthew chapter 7 is, "And in thy name cast out demons." I would like to suggest to you that he looked directly into the eyes of Judas Iscariot when he said those words. And I'll tell you why I believe that. By the way, it's an argument from silence, and I'm not saying it had to be that way. But I suspect that he looked right into the eyes of Judas Iscariot. Because if you were to go and study Matthew chapter 10, when the Lord sent out his apostles, one of the things that he gave them power to do was to cast out demons. So stop and think about what I'm saying here for a moment. Here was Judas Iscariot, invested with the power in Matthew chapter 10 to cast out demons, and yet we learn here in John chapter 13, he himself is infested with, he is empowered by, indwelled by Satan himself. Can it be more plain when the Lord Jesus Christ said about the man who would betray him, it had been better for that man if he had not been born? I am stunned every time I read passages such as this and think about what we are saying here. What is being said? Clearly, Judas was not a believer. He was not a Christian. He had not been indwelled by that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he himself is rising up in that rebellion that we read about this morning in Acts chapter 11, where they took the Lord Jesus Christ and put him to death. And here he is now leading and counseling and advising that same rebellion against this glorious God. When Jesus Christ knew of just such rebellion, how did he live his life? Well, verse 1 tells us he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end, and he lived his life in just that way. If you're taking notes this evening, then you'll want to notice that the servant leader lives a life full of love unto the end. I challenge you, do everything in your power to stoke up such love. Do everything in your power to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. Love him unto the end. And by the way, love your neighbor as yourself. You may remember we went through the Sunday school series on the one another passages, and I talked to you at that time about what I call the Lynn factor, L-Y-N-N. Love your neighbor now. You and I need to be asking, how can we have the Lynn factor? How can we love our neighbors now? You and I ought to be loving our neighbors. So love your neighbor now. But you know, even when there is this opposition of the devil and of the world, we don't need to be distracted by that. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't distracted by that. He continued out of a heart of love to continually serve others.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.